Last time through Revelation chapter 21 verse 1 to verse 8, we saw the eternal joy of being in the new heaven and new earth of all believers of Jesus Christ. It focused on the joy to the heart. What we will feel inside our heart will be pure joy. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain. Isn't that wonderful? Revelation chapter 21 verse 3 to 4 captured the essence of the message I preached last time. Verse 3, chapter 21 of Revelation says that, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with man, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." What a comforting promise God has for his believers. And today, through Revelation chapter 21, verse 9 to verse 21, open your Bible. Revelation chapter 21, we study verse 9 to verse 21. We will see the eternal joy of being in the new heaven and new earth of all believers of Jesus Christ, part 2, the second part of it. This part focuses on the joy to the eyes. What we will see with our eyes will be a breathtaking work of art like nothing you have ever seen before, with such beauty. That is our eternal home. Yes, our future home will be beautiful beyond description. It will be breathtaking. It will be jaw-dropping. You will be saying, wow, for eternity. You will be so amazed by the beauty of your eternal home. Verse 9 says that, "One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit." Meaning that John the Apostle didn't physically went there because that's a future event, but in his spirit he saw a vision. He was brought to a mountain, great and high, and he was shown the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Verse 11, "is shown with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper. It is a beautiful stone used in jewelry." During the first century, it is clear as crystal. So, after hearing this passage, what is your impression of your future home, eternal home in New Jerusalem? The overall impression of our future eternal home in New Jerusalem is a gigantic, a huge, brilliant jewel. So beautiful, it's beyond description. It's compared to jasper, a precious stone used in jewelry during the first century. It's clear as crystal, indicating its great beauty. John was trying really hard to describe what he saw and relate it to what might be familiar to the readers during the first century. They were familiar with the beauty of jasper. However, what he described here, I believe, cannot even be close to the real beauty. But we have a better idea by hearing that. This is a jasper stone on a ring. Today, you might not think this is the most expensive jewel, but in the first century, it is. Today, you might say diamond. I think, in today's language, you would say the New Jerusalem is like a gigantic piece of well-cut diamond. So beautiful, beyond description. Here, jasper stone long today is opaque. That means it's not transparent, although it says here it's clear. Here, John was focusing on the beauty, not the characteristics of the stone, opaque or clear. And also, New Jerusalem is described as the bride, the wife of the Lamb. We know the church is described as the bride of Jesus Christ. But here, the bride is being used to describe the city itself, not the people inside. The beauty of the city, as confirmed by the description of the city which follows. It's about the beauty of the city. Also using bride to describe it. Have you ever been to a wedding? Most women would look forward, those who are not married, to the day that you will be married, you'll be wearing the beautiful wedding gown. That probably will be the most beautiful day of your life. And you'll take photos of that. So that's why bride is being used to describe the beauty of New Jerusalem, our eternal home. When was the last time your breath was taken away by the beauty of God's creation in this world? When was it? Where you have visited before, when you were there, you said, "Wow, so beautiful, can't believe it." You just stand there or sit there for a long time and you don't get tired of it. And you're totally absorbed by the beauty of it, amazed by the beauty of it, and you praise God. For me, it is Maui, Hawaii, where I spent my honeymoon with my beloved wife, Nina. Not just because of the beauty of the place, but because of who I was with. My beautiful wife, who loved me deeply, and I loved her deeply. That made the difference. It is not in heaven, but this is the picture, but it is not even close to New Jerusalem being with God. The total breathtaking beauty with God, the source of everything good, the true lover of all. What we see on earth is beautiful. But wait until you see the New Jerusalem in the future. Be patient. The beauty that you see now is not it yet. What you will see in the future will totally take your breath away. You'll be absolutely stunned. Why? It's because God is beautiful. Very few people use the word beautiful to describe God, but God is beautiful and God is creative. And His beauty is reflected in His creation, both now and in the future. His creation gives us joy. I often see people when they are sad, depressed. I did that myself. When in Hong Kong there was a sea, and I'll go to the seaside and just look at the sunset, and I felt much, much better. Where I live now, there is a lake, and I often see people just sitting there looking at the lake, and it's especially beautiful during sunset. God's creation gives us joy. Being with God, the most glorious creator in His most beautiful new creation in New Jerusalem, would give us infinite joy that lasts forever. What a beautiful home that we would have. Shouldn't we thank God? Thank God for such a wonderful eternal home that we will have. Second, our home is not only beautiful, but it is also perfect. Verse 12 says that it had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. Here is a closer look of the foundation of New Jerusalem. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Let me test you to see if you guys are paying attention. How many gates are there? Anyone? Alex?
12.
12, alright. How many angels at the gate? Jesse?
12.
Perfect. How many names are written on the gate? Alex? 12, okay.
One on each gate.
What are the names on the 12 gates? Alex. Tribes of Israel?
Huh? The names of the tribes of Israel?
Yes. Who can tell me the 12 tribes of Israel, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel? Mention the few that you remember.
Benjamin.
Jeffrey. Jesse.
See, Simeon and Joseph, and Gad, Dan,
that's pretty good.
Asher, Manasseh was
Let's see. Manasseh is one of the sons of Joseph. Strictly speaking, he is like the grandson of Israel or Jacob. Not really one of the 12 sons.
Judah.
Judah, okay? And Ellen.
Asher.
Oh, you're fine.
I already said that.
Okay. So just read to us what you have found, the rest of the name. Where did you find that? Alright. If you have a pen, write it next to Revelation chapter 21, verse 9 to verse 21 that we're studying. You can write down Genesis chapter 29, verse 31 to verse 35. Okay? Genesis chapter 29, 31 to 35. Tells us the birth of Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, the first four sons of Jacob or Israel. Genesis chapter 30, verse 4 through 13, tells us the next four sons of Israel, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. And Genesis chapter 30, verse 17 to verse 24, tells us the next four sons of Israel, Issachar, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. So you can go to these Bible verses, okay, besides going to the back of your Bible. And Genesis 35, verses 22 to 26, list all these 12 names again in a quick summary. Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 30 to 35, actually describes the same names of the 12 gates, but it is in the renovated Jerusalem during millennium. But this one is the new Jerusalem. I believe the same names will be on the gates, on the 12 gates, because these are the 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. Let me ask you, how many foundations does the wall have? Alex?
12.
12 foundations. And what names are on the foundations? Alex?
Names of the 12 apostles.
Who are they? Tell me the names. Okay, Jesse, again?
I don't know all of them, but...
Name just a few you remember.
Peter and John. Matthew, Mark.
Uh-huh.
Luke, John.
I don't know.
Louis is not a... Louis is not. Okay. Okay, you guys, I did pay attention in your student Sunday school class. If you have a chance, you can go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 2 to 4. It mentions all the names of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. Here it says, Matthew chapter 10, verse 2 to verse 4. These are the names of the 12 apostles. Yes?
I have it.
Okay, you can read it to us. Read it loud so that everybody can hear it.
These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him.
Very good. Let me ask you another question. The last name is Judas Iscariot. Will Judah's name be on the foundation stone of New Jerusalem? Who said yes? Why?
Well, because after he betrayed him, he regretted it.
He regretted becoming a suicide? But does it mean that his name will be there?
I don't know.
You don't know? Actually, at the end of verse 4 of Matthew chapter 10, it says that Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him, And Acts chapter 1 verse 23 to 26 says that Judas was no longer considered one of the 12 apostles because of betrayal and not accepting God's forgiveness to him. That's why he committed suicide. And they chose another person to replace Judas. What's his name?
Paul.
That's not Paul. That's another question I'll ask. Will Paul's name be on the foundation stone? Okay, let me answer these questions, okay? These are not easy to answer. But you guys are trying really hard. That's good. I appreciate you guys participating. Acts chapter 1, if you have a Bible, Acts chapter 1, verse 23 to verse 26. 23 says that, so they proposed two men, Joseph called Barnabas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Guess who would be the chosen one? Matthias or Barnabas? Matthias, yes. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lots fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. So these are the 12 apostles, and these will be the names of the apostles on the foundation stones, 12 layers of foundation stones in New Jerusalem. How about Paul? Yes, Paul was also called an apostle, but his main ministry was to the Gentiles. And although he was equivalent in his leadership to other 12 apostles, he was not one of the 12 who represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Although I believe his reward in heaven will be just as much as the other apostles because of his dedication to serve God. 12 is a very important number in the Bible, in this city. Especially you see that. Not only here, 12 has been mentioned multiple times. As you read on, you'll see that all the other numbers about the measurements of the city of New Jerusalem, all the numbers are in multiples of 12. Why is 12 so important? Why is 12, this number, so important in the Bible? Has anyone taught you that?
No.
Okay, then that's the reason why you should be here. 12 is a number symbolizing perfection and completeness. Perfect and complete in God's eyes. This is symbolic of the perfection and completeness of God's new creation, New Jerusalem, our eternal home. The 12 gates represent Israel because it has the tribes, 12 tribes, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel on there. The 12 foundation stones, that represent the church because the church was founded by the 12 apostles. In this passage, we see that Israel and the church, they are separate entities, very clearly distinguished in New Jerusalem. Although they are together, they retain their unique identity. The church never replaces Israel. Some people think, now we have the church, so God's promises, unfulfilled promises to Israel will no longer be kept. No, according to my understanding in the Bible and clearly here, there's a distinct difference between Israel and the church. There's clear distinction, although there is also a difference, distinct difference between Israel and the church, and they are together in eternity in New Jerusalem. As Christians, we are called Gentile Christians. We are not Jews, we are not Israelites. But we should thank God for the Israelites. We should thank God for all the Jews in Israel and all the Jews spread out in the world. Because God used them to tell us the law of God, first through Moses. And his promise to Abraham started earlier than that, so that we know that God, through Abraham, later on also reaffirmed this promise to Isaac, Jacob, and their other descendants. About God's promise to them first, the purpose is to bless all nations in the whole world. So that's why we should thank them. But what happened to Israel? And what happened then to us, the Gentiles? If you have a chance, you can go to chapter 11 of the book of Romans. It tells us that Israel is God's chosen people. But Israel as a nation did not have faith in God, because Israel as a nation did not recognize Jesus Christ as their Messiah or their Savior. As a result, God extended His grace and blessings to the Gentiles who are willing to trust God through trusting Jesus Christ through the church, which the few faithful Israelites helped to found. The church was founded by the very few Israelites who were faithful to God, who recognized Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And it's because of them we have the church that even we can join. Some people think that God shows favoritism to the Israelites. No. Although in order they were first chosen, God never showed favoritism. When they did wrong, God disciplined them, punished them. And the grace of eternal life through Jesus Christ is open to all people in the whole world. So God does not show favoritism. According to the book of Romans chapter 11, when the gospel has reached all the Gentiles and all who will believe have believed, Israel as a nation will finally return to God at the end of the tribulation, and all of God's promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants will be fulfilled during the millennium, the 1,000 years that God, that Jesus Christ will rule on earth. So what have we learned about God? From New Jerusalem, the structure, the architecture of New Jerusalem, seeing the difference and the distinct identity of Israel and church, what can we learn about God? And God's plan in history to choose first Israel, they did not believe in Christ. As a result, God's grace extended to us, the Gentiles. But God's grace finally will also be back on them when they believe in Jesus Christ again at the end of the Great Tribulation. I've learned that God does things in specific order. God is a God with order, with clear distinction and purposes to achieve His perfect will for His perfect kingdom. What does it mean to us? When we serve God, when we do things in life, we should do things with specific order, clear distinctions and purposes according to God's word. We don't do things according to our will, whatever we want to do it. I went to a supermarket. There was a poster. I believe it's OK supermarket, convenience store. And the poster says that qualified workers needed. And some people who are not even Christians, they come to church and they see that church people do things without order, sometimes doing sloppy work that really turn them off. Because some of them, they are very serious about work. While they're trying to seek God, they see that Christians are so sloppy. They do not see God in us. That's why it's so important that when we serve God, when we come to worship God, we should reflect who God really is. Do everything diligently, dedicated to God, with order, with distinctions of specific purpose, with what we do according to God's word. Since the church has not replaced Israel, let's pray for Israel as a nation. We should really thank God for Israel. We need to pray for them. Although the nation of Israel is now quite strong, but they are still unrepentant as a nation. We need to pray for them, or otherwise they will go through a lot of suffering during Great Tribulation. I believe the majority of them would go through that. But I hope God will save as many as possible before the Great Tribulation so that they will not need to go through the great suffering during that period of time. Let's pray that the Israelites will return to God and be part of the eternal Israel in New Jerusalem. But don't forget the Gentiles. We are the Gentiles. We are not the Jews. We should also pray for the Gentiles to also return to God and be part of God's eternal church in New Jerusalem as well. Thirdly, our home is not only perfect, it is also spacious, not a room. Verse 15. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod. According to first century standards, a measuring rod is about 10 feet long. It is a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was made out like a square, so it's a square base, as long as it is wide. The angel measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length. So how long is that? 12,000 stadia.
Stadia.
And as wide and high as it is long. So it is a cube. Not only does it have a square base, so this picture reflects it very well. It is a cube. But how long is 12,000 stadia? According to my study, stadium, that's the singular form of stadia, is an ancient Greek measurement unit. It's a unit of linear measurement in ancient Greece equal to about 185 meters or 607 feet. 12,000 stadia is equivalent to 1,400 miles. That's very long. Do you know how long is 1,400 miles? Do you know how long is the Great Wall of China? I'm not talking about the Great Wall restaurant. The Great Wall of China is the longest human-made structure on planet Earth. How long is that? 1,000? What? 6,400 miles? Maybe you're using a different measurement unit. But in terms of miles, it's 1,500 miles long, just 100 miles longer than the width and the length and the height of New Jerusalem. But this is already the longest human-made structure on planet Earth now. But in terms of the area, do you know what's the total area of mainland China? I've done some studies. It's 3,695,500 square miles, including the inland waters, the mountains that people cannot live on. Okay? But New Jerusalem covers 1,960,000 square miles. That's about 53% of the total area of China in just two dimensions, the base, the area. Let me show you a picture of mainland China. It's a big piece of land holding 13 billion people there, another people. If we can even live on the waters and also the mountains, there will be many more people. And I believe there's still room for more people in China to live. But this is just two-dimensional, although there are high-rises, maybe 20 floor, 30 floor maximum. But remember, the New Jerusalem is also 1,400 miles high. So think about building high-rises 1,400 miles high. So, in other words, New Jerusalem is very spacious. It can hold the population of probably 1.3 billion people times 1,000 times, because I'm also taking account into the three-dimensional space in New Jerusalem. So don't worry. Go ahead and share the gospel with people. Don't worry that they have no room in the future in New Jerusalem. There's plenty of space there for all believers. While there is still the opportunity, let us share the gospel with people. So for believers, the eternal prospect is really good. We should thank God for giving us such a spacious home in New Jerusalem. While it is so expensive to own a house here, house owners will know it is expensive. And it will become more expensive even for smaller houses in the future because of the increase of population. The land is limited. It's not going to increase. Okay? In New Jerusalem, there won't be such a problem. Million-dollar houses won't be just for Hollywood superstars. You know, Hollywood superstars, they have super big houses, luxurious. But I believe what we will have will be even better than that. And it is not just to the wealthy people, but all believers in Jesus Christ by God's grace, we can have such spacious home in the future. Thank God for that. Lastly, and fourthly, we have a precious home. Verse 18, the wall was made of jasper, again, precious stone, used for jewelry. But the whole wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. Here are the specific names of the precious stones. I try to pronounce that correctly, okay? They're not easy to pronounce. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, carnelian. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprase. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. Okay, so I passed my English reading test. These are very beautiful and scarce precious stones. They are mainly used as jewelry. They cost people a lot of money to buy, and only very few well-off people could own them. But these would be in super big pieces used to decorate the foundation stones of the whole holy city of that huge size. And it's for everybody to enjoy the beauty. According to my research, these are the 12 stones used in modern jewelry. Which one do you like? I mean, girls will be excited when they see these. Okay, see, already you are thinking what you like. You know what? In New Jerusalem, you have big pieces of these stones for your pleasure, for you to enjoy, for you to appreciate and give glory to God. Moreover, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. 12 gates of 12 pearls. You know how thick the wall is? I believe the pearl would be, the diameter of the pearl would be the thickness of the wall, that is 144 cubits. As I mentioned, that is, for the cubit, the name is about 7.3 times the width of the Great Wall. If the Great Wall is 30 feet in width, but the wall of New Jerusalem would be 7.3 times the width of Great Wall. Have you been to Great Wall? It's really thick and wide. But the wall of New Jerusalem would be 7.3 times of that. And this big pearl, the diameter is 7.3 times of the width of Great Wall. It's a huge, huge pearl. And today I noticed there was a very beautiful pearl that one of us wore. That was beautiful. But compared to this, that is nothing. Moreover, the great street of the city is made of pure gold. Many people have golden rings. And gold is one of the most precious metals. They are very expensive to own. But the whole street would be of pure gold in the future. In a word, our future home will be very precious, more beautifully decorated than any building you have ever seen in your life. You will be literally surrounded by a super building made of precious jewelry. It is not just for you to wear on your clothes as decoration, but it will be surrounding you, because God is the source of everything good. What we think is precious and scarce, God has abundant supply of that, and He will give to those who believe in Jesus Christ. That's another reason why you should trust in Jesus Christ. Let me summarize. Our future eternal home will be indescribably beautiful, perfect, spacious, and precious, and it is for every believer of Jesus Christ. If you are living in ugly, broken, small, and cheap house or apartment, which can be easily damaged by hurricanes, and it drains so much of your time, your energy, your money in order to pay for the mortgage or the rent, don't be sad. And don't be burdened by it, because that's just temporary. If the financial burden is too much, go for a smaller house. so that you can dedicate more of your time, money, and energy to prepare for your hearts, to help yourself and others for your future eternal home. That's where we will be. That's where we will be, to the praise of our eternal God, to worship God in eternity. You'll be wise if you don't spend too much time on these ugly, broken, small, and cheap houses and apartments, and leaving no time to prepare you for the eternally beautiful, perfect, spacious, precious home in heaven. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, for your kindness, for your love to those who simply had simple faith in Christ alone to be saved, and yet you have prepared such a wonderful eternal home for us. It is not what we deserve. It is all because you are love. You are the source of everything good, and it is your character to give what is good for your chosen people. While we are already chosen, God, I want to remember the first chosen people, the Israelites, the nation as a whole is still not repentant, still does not recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah they have been waiting for. I just pray for the Holy Spirit's work in the Israelites' hearts. I hope as many as possible will be saved before the Great Tribulation, although I know still there will be a lot who will go through the Great Tribulation to be disciplined, and then they will return to God. Let us remember the Israelites. And I also pray that while we are burdening ourselves with the houses, the home that we have now, I just pray that we have the eternal perspective, knowing that these houses, they are really nothing compared to our eternal houses. And that's where we should be preparing ourselves for, so that we can enjoy the fullest pleasure in heaven later, when we bring more people to this most wonderful eternal home, and people will be thanking us for helping them to trust in Christ, to enjoy such grace, love with the eternal God. Give us hope, Lord, in times of suffering, like moments like this, either because of illnesses or because of the bad economy, or our own struggles against temptations and sins. You are beyond all that. Your power is beyond all that, and we can triumph and conquer. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.